Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And today is the International Day for the Commemoration and Dignity of Victims of Genocide. It's observed in countries around the world, including indeed in Ireland. So what is genocide? Well, Raphael Lemkin was the scholar who after the Second World War defined this. And prior to that, there was no term for this, the attempt to destroy a people in whole or in part, based on their ethnicity, religion, possibly social class, or other criteria by various methods. And I broadly agree with the definition he's given. I mean, the one bit where I quibble is transferring the children of a group to another group, which is very bad, but I'm not sure that quite counts as genocide. Anyway, so that's what it is. There have been many genocides in the world. Many groups of people, maybe most groups of people, have suffered genocide, have committed it. And guilt's got to be individual, not collective. I don't blame a whole nation or whatever. Especially if it's something that was done decades or centuries ago. No one's bad for having to belong to whatever group, no matter what members of that group have done in the past. Because that's racism to say you happen to be part of a group and members of your group did this terrible thing some time ago, therefore you must be punished, even psychologically, even to be ashamed of me, insulted and so on. And that's not a positive emotion. So recognize the past, but not to be slandering people. I recognize the Armenian genocide. I'm not remotely anti-Turkish. No one should be mistreated for being Turkish, for instance, and so on. But come to the Irish famine, An Gortam War, or the Great Hunger, as some prefer to call it, which struck from about 1846 to 1849. 1847 was the worst year, Black 47, which was, there's an Irish-American band called Black Firth 47 for that reason. So it was terrible. Now, certainly in the Atlantic coast was almost a monoculture, very reliant upon potatoes. Now, there's a lot of Anglophobia in Ireland. Not vicious, not violent usually these days. And that was, we have the English to thank for that, for bringing that back from the American continent. The Spanish had just found it there. The indigenous people grow it for a long time. A very hardy crop will grow at sea level or high altitude. If it's cold, if it's hot, if it's windy, if it's rainy, if it's marginal soil, and so on, if there's almost no rain, almost anywhere it'll grow. You get more calories out of a hectare of that than a hectare of almost anything else. And we were somewhat nomadic to then, you know, our great herds of cattle, often fighting people, fighting each other over pasturage. We were not so much, there wasn't as much settled agriculture, as much tillage. Of course, Ireland being the Isle of the Utmost West in Europe, there's very heavy rainfall. It's not that good for cereal crops. Yes, we can cultivate cereal crops, barley in particular, but it's not as good as other areas of Europe. So that led to a population explosion. And of course, our population grew so rapidly from the Act of Union, New Year's Day, 1801, to the famine in the late 1840s. And this is what a nationalist, particularly Republicans, need to explain. If Great Britain hated us so much, and what happened to our populations because of them, how come our population doubled in 40 years? And we have the census every 10 years, as in 1801, 1811, 1821, and so forth. And then having wanted us to grow in population, wanted to wipe us out. It's preposterous. It just doesn't withstand a moment's scrutiny. But anyway, then the famine struck. It was a Europe-wide thing. But obviously, as we were more heavily dependent on potatoes than almost anywhere else, that's why it impacted us worse. And something like 800,000 people died of the famine, either directly or indirectly. Sometimes people just starve to death. And I don't diminish their suffering. It's horrific. It just doesn't bear thinking about. People emaciated, wasting away, reduced to being walking skeletons and so on. So there are many, many heart-rending tales of the most just unspeakable suffering that people went through. And having to go down to the shore, because you can never be more than, say, 150 kilometers from the sea, and people taking all the whatever little creatures they can see, mussels and so forth, and running out of those. We can eat seaweed, but you can't live on seaweed alone, and so on. Okay, fishing was not as high tech as it is today, so it wasn't as easy to catch fish. But goodness, and some berries and some slugs and snails, but some of those are poisonous, and you know, there are none of those left, and in the winter you can't get them at all. So there was terrible, terrible suffering. Imagine that. And then famine, fever, and in people's debilitated state because of malnutrition, often being killed by that. So sometimes people die of more than one cause, and famine was a contributory factor. So something like 800,000 of the other population fell. Now, of course, Republicans try to exploit this for their own ends, and will try and multiply it to 2 million, and all the millions of people left the country. People have always been emigrating out of Ireland. always been immigrating in, but emigration sped up. The famine was something to do with that. How big an effect it is debatable. But anyway, so yes, an awful lot of people died. An awful people left the country as a result. And there was also internal immigration. We was within the United Kingdom, so moving to Great Britain in a sense is internal migration, but moving within Ireland from the west to Dublin in particular. And it's the western counties is most heavily impacted. But it's not genocide. You see the UN Genocide Convention 1948 say that it's an intention to destroy partly or wholly a national, ethnic, racial or religious group. So intentionality is crucial here. Okay. Now, this can be by killing directly, shooting or cutting off from food supplies, or it can be separating from the men from the women so births don't occur and so on. Okay, so it was potato blight. It's a natural disaster that caused this. And it's true, a lot of food was being taken out of Ireland at the time. People were selling it to Great Britain, other countries, and some people were making money out of this and would rather do that than save fellow Irishmen. Now, it's true that landlords had to be paid rent, and that was often paid in food or by selling foodstuffs and so forth. And some of the landlords were absentee landlords, and I don't have any data on this, how many landlords there were, how many of them lived in Ireland, how they lived overseas, particularly in Great Britain. But it might be, yes, that there are plenty of Irish landlords who reside in Ireland, but they might not own that much land. If they have an average own like 500 hectares, where the absentee landlords own on average 2,000 hectares, I don't have the data. So sometimes it was that. Obviously, people in Scotland, Wales and England are permitted to own property in Ireland, just as we were permitted to own property in Great Britain and so forth. So, yeah, if none of the food had left Ireland, a lot of people would have been saved. But you've got to blame some of the people for selling it and some of the landlords for being evil and saying, surely you've got to prioritize saving people's lives than money for you. And they were heartless. These people were far away. Not all landlords were bad, and some certainly were rack renters. And some clergy, Catholic clergy, Protestant clergy were good. And there were the soup kitchens, some of the Protestant missionaries supposedly saying soupers, so you have to take this soup and to get the soup, you have to cross the Tiber, as in become a Protestant. And so, Protestants with typically Catholic names, Gaelic names, sometimes called soupers, and they took the soup, which is not always true. Obviously, you could reconvert any time. Wow, selling your birthright for a mess of pottage. But we got aid from overseas in the Ottoman Empire, from some of the Native Americans, and obviously from Great Britain, from charities. There's this lie that Queen Victoria donated the same amount to us as she donated to the Battersea Dogs Home, didn't want to be seen as unduly pro-Irish and so forth. And then the government did get its act together, but too little too late. This is a time of Malthusian ethics. You should see one, I think, did a video about James Malthus. Laissez-faire, and people often had to work before they got this. There were famine relief works, as in building roads and piers and so on, and sometimes tearing up roads to create famine work to build them. But often had to do a week's work before you got your food or you got your money, and people collapsing and dying before they got it. So it's very heartless. That's the 19th century for you. Partly it's the era. Goodness. And the railways really expanded the 1840s, partly because of this. I know the train is only invented in 1825, and so it was expanding anyway, but that really sped up. So goodness. Yes, there's no attempt to wipe us out. So the aid was mismanaged. It was too slow. Have to blame Charles Trevelyan to some extent. But he said, you know, at all costs, we must prevent large-scale starvation. You're saying, what? So he thinks that small-scale starvation is allowed? Well, you know, people were dying anyway of starvation. People forget just how severe poverty was in the 19th century all across the world. And the thing is, the famine struck Great Britain at the same time. It was less severe. Relatively few people died. And all across Europe. That's why 1848 was the year of revolutions, partly because the food price went up. So there was negligence and so on. And anyway, it was also the time of the Corn Laws, and these were repealed partly because of this, so to stop the import tax on corn, so to make it corn more affordable and so forth. It's the most horrendous suffering. I don't diminish that. But this shouldn't be exploited for political gain by anybody, and it shouldn't be called genocide, especially when people are doing so for Anglophobic reasons. So there's a consensus among scholars that this is not genocide. And the people like Tim Pat Coogan, who's got never been in near a university in his life, publishing the famine plot, and he doesn't even have footnotes. He's not even delved into any of the academic literature on this. So that is really just a screed him to hate, an attempt to justify 20th century terrorism. Yeah, so that's it. But do what you can to really stop famine these days. We're allowed to go abroad in search of food and so on and work. Like the Ukrainian famine in the 1930s, they weren't even allowed out. There was no attempt by the government to suppress newspapers. The newspapers were allowed to report just how horrendous the situation was. Should the government have done more? Yeah, sure, definitely. But anyway, as an Irishman, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank people in Scotland, Wales, and England, elsewhere, who sent money and saved some of us. Maybe they saved my ancestors. Almost certainly I had some ancestors who died in the famine. And was it permissible to steal in order to keep yourself alive? Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't blame anyone for doing that. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate in PayPal. GeorgeCallan7 at gmail.com. Goodbye.